Makos Perek Gimel, Mishnah Tes 3-9. This Mishnah, the basic point of the Mishnah is that you could do one act and be liable to multiple sets of malchus because you're doing different Isurei Daraisa. So that would mean if you were warned regarding each of the various violations properly, proper Hasra, again, that you're told not to do it under the consequence of Makos. So if you did one act that has two separate Isurei Daraisa and you're warned about both of them, you get two sets, and the Mishnah actually says, Yesh choresh telem echad v'chayv alav mishum shmona alavin. It's possible to dig just one furrow in the ground and be on the hook for eight separate Isuri Daraisa, meaning eight sets of Malkus for that. Again, assuming that you were warned ahead of time, don't do that because you'll be over these eight violations. We'll go through the Mishnah now and just sort of enumerate these violations. If you actually count, we'll only have seven by then, not eight. That's curious, of course. There are a few different opinions regarding where the eighth one's coming in from, and I will sort of mention those as we go along here. It says the Mishnah inside, Yesh choresh telem echad v'chayav alav mishum shmona alavin. A single digging of a furrow in a can entail an obligation for eight malchus. First of all, you can have ha-choresh b'shor v'chamor. You can be plowing, and pulling your plowshare is a ox and a donkey. The Torah says, Lo sachrosh b'shor uv'chamor yachdav. You can't plow with an ox and a donkey together, really any two different species together. So that's one lav. Vehain, if it's the case that those animals, mukudashim, that they are consecrated to the base of Mikdash, so now you're over the Isra of Me'ila, because you're making use of consecrated property that doesn't belong to one, it belongs to the Hashem, the base of Mikdash, so that's a separate law of all to itself. Some say there are actually two laven happening here, because when one consecrates a shore, an ox, which is a cow, so it would be headed to the mizbeach as an offering. Whereas when one consecrates his makdish, his chamor, donkey, so it's not going to the mizbeach, you can't offer him a donkey, so therefore it would be going to what's called bedek habayis, for the upkeep of the base of mikdash, for them to use or to monetize. So some learned that there's two separate serum there, and that would be where the missing iser comes from. Okay, now, not only are you plowing with this ox and donkey together that are sanctified, but bikilaim bakarim. You're doing it in a way that violates the issue of kilaim bakarim in a vineyard. The issue here is that the Torah prohibits planting grains, and greens for that matter, inside a vineyard. Now, the case here, let's say for example, is that you have two, according to some, let's explain this way to keep everything simple, you need to have kilayim, mixed species, that would be, let's say, wheat and barley together, planted with the grapes. So the simple way here is you're planting three seeds together, a wheat seed, a barley seed, that's your kilayim, and that might be a daraisa, or the rabban, that's a machlokas, but then you're doing it with a grape seed, a chartzan, so that makes it now with the kerem in the vineyard, so now you have kilayim bekerem. The way this is being planted is, you know, oftentimes if they say they're planting wheat or barley, they would sprinkle the wheat or barley kernels on the surface of the ground, but then, of course, the birds will get them. We're talking about likely to take root properly. Then they till the ground. That, like, sort of gets the seeds under the sand and then under the soil, so they'll grow properly. So that's what's happening here. First, the wheat, barley, and grape seed were put on the ground, and then the tilling of the ground was to get them under the ground so they'll grow better. So now you have at least maybe one isur, maybe two isur in here of kilayim bekerem, because you're planting kilayim in that way. Uva shvius, this whole activity is happening on the Shemitah year, on which it's forbidden to plant anything to work the ground. So you got another one then. V'yom tov, and it's happening on the day of Yom Tov on Shvius. So this is, you know, Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos of the Shemitah year. The reason why the Mishnah picks on Yom Tov as opposed to Shabbos is because Shabbos, one who does a malacha, is potentially liable to misas bezdin, execution, if he has warning, as opposed to violating a malacha on Yom Tov, for which the penalty is not execution, rather just malchus. Now, if you say, wait a second, the scenario we described over here, so you actually have two separate malachas happening. You have the malacha of choresh, which is plowing, and you have the malacha of zoreya, of essentially facilitating plant growth. You're putting seeds in the ground when you're tilling the soil. That's two separate malachas. That's true, however, there's only one set of malchus for the two violations of Yom Tov, because you don't differentiate between different malachas in terms of liability. So one act that is both planting and plowing would just be on the hook for one set of malchus, but coupled together with other ones, you're going to get to eight. V'kohen v'nazir b'beis ha'tumah. More than that, the guy doing the plowing is a kohen who has no business being inside a cemetery, and he's also a nazir committing to not become tamei. They have two separate psukim for that, two separate surim for that. The kohen, of course, says El nefesh lo yitama b'mav, and the nazir says al nefesh meis lo yavo. So we have two other surim here. This guy's taking up both those boxes, so on two more surim, and it's happening in a beis atuma, in a cemetery. So that brings us now to a total of, because therefore they're becoming tummy. That brings us a total of seven if you're counting, plus the missing one, and the seven I'll count for you right now, again, is the plowing with the mixed pieces, the kilayim, that's one, and their mukudashim, that's another one, or maybe two, berek abayis and mizbeach, and kilay hakerem, that's the pashas one, thing here, shvias, that's shmita year, another one, yom tov, another one, kohen that becomes tummy, another one, and nazir that becomes tummy, another one. Now, Chananya ben Chachinai Omer, afalovesh kilayim. He says, wait a second. Chananya ben Chachinai says, listen, you could actually get past eight easily. Just have the guy doing the plowing be wearing a shotness jacket. And if he was told, don't do that, or else you're on the hook for not eight but nine, and the warning includes shotness jacket, that would be a ninth one. Amarlo, the Tanakhama says, well, yes, but no. Eino Hashem, that's something else. In other words, we're talking about ways in which you can be violating the one act of digging a furrow gets on the hook for eight sets of malchus, but it's true he'll be on the set for hook for malchus if he's warned for wearing the shanis, but it's not because of digging the furrow that he is liable, so it shouldn't be included in the list. Amar lehem afloha nazir hu Hashem. So Chananya ben Hachinai says, well, listen, anyways, you're also doing things that aren't about plowing, like for example, the nazir becoming tame is because the nazir, he's not. It's not because he's plowing, per se, so it shouldn't be on the list either. But the rabbis don't agree with that. The rabbis say, listen, the reason why the Nazir is included on the list here is because he's like, by plowing, he's like entering into and engaging the cemetery, and the plowing act is part and parcel with him engaging with the Tumah, and that's why it is included. In any case, it's just kind of a matter of semantics, because everyone agrees that if he was also wearing Shatnas, and was warned for that, he would also be liable for that as well. It's just a matter of the Mishnah sort of giving a creative way to realize and remember that if you do a single act, you can hook for many, many different sets of malchus together if you were warned appropriately.